It's Friday, August 19th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the White Sox are in town to open a three-game weekend series against the Guardians, the first-place Guardians, as the Sox fell yesterday to the Houston Astros, actually got blown out by the Houston Astros. So they are now 2.5 games back in the AL Central. The Twins still a game back of the Guardians. But this pretty much is a big series here to give the Guardians a chance to maybe put some distance between themselves and one of the three contenders in that Central Division.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. A big series. It'll be a good series for baseball fans who'd like to see meaningful games in the mid to late August. The Guardians have a 8-5 edge in the season series with the White Sox, but the White Sox have won four of the last six games between the two teams.
Yeah, it seemed like early on when the teams met in April, May there a couple of times, it was the White Sox defense that was, giving the Guardians opportunities. Tim Anderson was pretty shaky there in a couple of those games, committing errors at shortstop. He's not around. He's on the shelf with an injury right now. They brought in Elvis Andrus as, the longtime Cleveland nemesis. Elvis Andrus is part of the White Sox now, and because they also had an injury to Lourie Garcia, who had been playing shortstop, so they need somebody there at shortstop. How much can Elvis Andrus maybe impact this series this weekend?
Well, Joe, the guy is 33 years old. He was released by the A's, but when it comes to hitting against Cleveland, he might as well be 21 years old and in his prime. He's, he just wears them out. He's hitting .342 against the Guardians, and at Progressive Field, he's hitting .378 in his career against the Guardians. When he sees that Cleveland uniform, it makes him a different hitter, and he's been like that. He made his debut against Cleveland, got a hit in that game, and he hasn't stopped hitting since.
Yeah, I remember stretches where he would go out there and just put up, two, three games where he's getting, multiple hits, three hits in a game. You'd look up and he'd even be driving the ball out of the park. And it's a dangerous position because you don't know what he can give you coming to a new team for the first time from Oakland. I mean, obviously, he wasn't expected to be doing much in Oakland with that team, but now he's on a playoff contender, and you don't know what you're going to get out of the veteran here, Elvis Andrus. So the Guardians need to be careful when they see him come to the plate this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. This is a guy that is World Series tested with the Rangers. He's been around. He knows how to handle these kind of situations. But the one, the silver bullet that the Guardians have is Brian Shaw. Andrus is 1-for-15 against Shaw. So maybe we see a lot of Brian Shaw versus Elvis Andrus matchups here.
That's the one head-to-head matchup that the Guardians know they have an advantage in. In terms of odds to make the playoffs, I know Fangraphs right now has the Guardians in a pretty good spot percentage-wise out of the three teams who are contending in the Central right now. Fangraphs indicates that the Guardians have the best odds right now to win the division and the best odds out of the three to make a wild card spot if they don't win the division.
Yeah, right now to win the division, Joe, Fangraphs rates the Guardians at 51.9%. The Twins at 49.5%, and the White Sox 43.9%. They, as for strength of schedule, the Twins are going to face the strongest opposition. They're facing their opponents have a .499 winning percentage. The Guardians opponents have a .498 winning percentage. And the White Sox have the easiest path with their opponents have a 476 winning percentage.
Yeah, it's almost like I go back to my Star Wars roots. Don't tell me the odds.
Don't tell me the odds. That's
don't
right.
Tell me the odds. It just from an eye test right now, the Guardians look like they're a team that's got something rolling, but you just know in the back of your head, it's still a bunch of young, inexperienced kids. And when they're faced with those playoff testing moments, we still haven't seen what they're going to do. We've seen them rally. We've seen them come back in late innings. We've seen Josh Naylor do it. We've seen, Stephen Kwan step up and produce, Jose Ramirez. Wednesday night's comeback victory is a good example of that. But we just don't know what we're going to get down the stretch from this team. And so the odds really are inconsequential when you don't know what this team's able to do. We know what they're capable of. We just don't know if they're able to do it on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, as the later the season gets, the tighter the races get, although, you can't get much tighter than the AL Central, the more we're going to see exactly how, all these young players respond to that. The good thing is, Joe, they have the majority of their games at home, going down the stretch here, and they played very well at home. They're 31-24 at Progressive Field. I think so that will work in their favor because, they really have been kind of MLB's road warriors through the first, 118 games of the season.
Yeah, it's, they don't know what they don't know, I guess, is a good way to put it. So, being at home down the stretch, closing out the season with six straight against Kansas City could also be very helpful. You don't want to be in a position where you're heading into that series having to win 5 out of 7 or 5 out of 6 or something like that, something crazy like that. But you're going to see Kansas City a lot down the stretch, so they're going to help determine what this division looks like. And, it all starts tonight with this big matchup between, was it Tristan McKenzie and Lance Lynn in the opener? If they're patient and if they catch Lance Lynn on a night where he's maybe having to work a little harder, this could be a good night for Cleveland.
Yeah, definitely. And Tristan has thrown like 10 and a third innings against the White Sox. Has only given up 2 runs, but he's doesn't have a decision against them. I think Lance Lynn came back against Cleveland, from that knee surgery, got knocked around a little bit, but he was much better the second time he faced him. So that's going to be a good matchup. Lance Lynn has a history of pitching well against Cleveland.
Yeah, you wrote about the other matchups between, what to look for in the matchups between the Guardians and the White Sox. You also said that the White Sox defense is something to sort of keep an eye on.
Yeah, we've anyone who's seen these two teams play know that Chicago's defense is not airtight. They lead the American League in errors with 70, and in the games they've played against Cleveland, the 13 games that these two teams have played against each other, they've made 11 errors. So that could come into play, at any time. And so we'll see if those errors present themselves and if the Indians or the Guardians can take advantage of it.
The other X factor in the series could be Josh Naylor. We talked about his effectiveness against the White Sox, especially in late inning situations. He's the guy you want at the plate if the game is on the line.
Yeah, he's hitting .386 against the White Sox this year, 3 homers and 16 RBIs.
Wow.
And, 8 of those RBIs came in one game on May 9th when he drove in, 7 or 8 runs from the 8th inning on with a grand slam, a 3-run homer, and an RBI double, I believe. So, Naylor has the White Sox in his sights, and it'll be interesting to see how they pitch to him in this series.
Yeah, once Liam Hendricks gets out there on the mound, he's definitely looking at the lineup to see where Josh Naylor is, and whether he's going to come around in the ninth. That's the last guy that Liam Hendricks wants to face at that time. All right, around baseball, some other news, some other things to talk about here. USA Baseball announced that Mark DeRosa, one-time Cleveland player, Mark DeRosa, is going to be managing the USA Baseball team in the World Baseball Classic next season. This is a World Baseball Classic that I think we're probably going to see Jose Ramirez play in. You could probably see Emmanuel Clase play for the Dominican Republic as well. Andres Jimenez, I'm sure, is going to be a guy that Venezuela is going to want. Omar Lopez just announced as the manager for Venezuela. I'm sure he's going to want to see Andres Jimenez on that team. So definitely a lot of Guardians players are going to be under consideration possibly to play in that World Baseball Classic, and that could impact spring training next year.
Yeah, Joe, I you know, I have mixed feelings about the World Baseball Classic. I think it's a great, you know, a great vehicle to you know, promote the game worldwide, but it comes at the worst possible time for big league clubs when they're trying to get their teams together in spring training. I think you know, usually on the World Baseball Classic years, they have to go to camp earlier, a couple weeks earlier, maybe 10 days earlier to camp. So they can at least work together, and then you know, they're gone. I mean, then they're gone for, you could lose players for up to 2 to 3 weeks, and that doesn't even, you know, include the, you know, the threat of injury. How many people, you know, Grady Sizemore got hurt, are ramping up for the World Baseball Classic. Vinny Pastano was never the same after going to the World Baseball Classic and pitching for the USA. You know, there's a lot of injuries. People try to do too much too soon. You know, you get in a big league ballpark and there's a lot of fans there, and you know, players, you know, play to the crowd, and they're not ready to do that yet. So, you know, while it's a great thing for baseball, it is not a great thing, in my opinion, for the, you know, the 30 major league teams.
Yeah, Andrew Miller played in the 2017 World Baseball Classic after all of the extended workload of the 2016 postseason, and I'm convinced that that's what led to his chronic knee injuries throughout the 2017 season, and he really wasn't the same for Cleveland after that postseason run.
Yeah,
you know, because he just got worn out. You could see he got worn
out, blown out. Yeah,
in the baseball World Baseball Classic, and you know, great, the USA won that tournament, and he was part of that. But you know, at what cost, at what price? Andrew Miller comes out and gives up the home run in the 2017 ALDS to Greg Bird, and all of a sudden the you know, Cleveland's hopes of getting back to the World Series that year were destroyed. So yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. Just keep an eye on the rosters and the names of players who are invited to play and express a desire to play. Jose Ramirez among them. So, you know, and who knows, maybe Jose playing in that World Baseball Classic might jumpstart him early in the season. Maybe he might come out hot in April again, like he did this past season. The one that I'd be concerned about would be Class A, because they tend to overuse relievers in those games, in those situations.
Yeah, they always come if you send a pitcher, you know they come with instructions how many pitches they can throw, how many innings they can they can throw, and who they can face, and so it's you know, it's a complicated process. I guess it's a good one, but you know, I remember Yan Gomes, you know, helped Brazil qualify for the World Baseball Classic, but then, you know, he was in spring training and he did not play for Brazil, you know, during the tournament. So,
yeah,
you know, it works both ways.
Well, and just getting back to Jose real quickly, you know, since he signed the contract, it's like a different Jose. You know, he signed the contract. Now he's got maybe a little bit more of that cachet. He's got a little bit more of that say. You know, he competed in the the home run derby. And, you know, even though in the past the organization had sort of not wanted him to do that, if the organization maybe had said they didn't want him to play in the World Baseball Classic, you know, now he's got maybe a little bit more juice behind him to say, hey, if I want to do this, I'm going to do this. And you know, the organization can't really, you know, tell him no. So, yeah, it should be interesting to see when those rosters come out. Injury news around the division, actually. Tyler Malley left the Twins game on Wednesday with shoulder soreness. Rocco Baldelli said they're not really concerned about any sort of damage in there. They just think it's fatigue. But, you know, we'll see how long that keeps Tyler Malley out of the rotation for the Twins.
Yeah, you know, he was a trade line pickup from the Reds. He had some shoulder issues with Cincinnati earlier this season. And he's being counted on, you know, to really fortify that rotation, that Twins rotation going down the stretch.
Yeah, we definitely haven't seen, you know, what he looks like with a good lineup behind him. We saw him in Cincinnati where, you know, if you maybe got a run or two on him, you could possibly, you know, win a game just because the Reds lineup wasn't all that great this year. I think they actually happened. They beat him up a little bit in Cincinnati. So we'll see how it goes if Malley factors into the Twins and Guardians matchups later on this the rest of the season. I wanted to bring up one other thing. We saw in the White Sox versus Astros series that just concluded, Alex Bregman again, you know, reaches second base against Dylan Cease, which that in and of itself this year, reaching second base against Dylan Cease has been a rarity for any hitter. But we saw Dylan Cease do something that a couple of teams and a couple of players have done with Alex Bregman on second base. Cease gets up on the mound and intentionally drops the baseball, which is an automatic balk, and moves Alex Bregman from second base over to third base, where I guess teams feel that he's less able to tip a pitcher's pitches to the hitter. You know, I don't know if Cease is using the PitchCom system or not, which would sort of eliminate that. But apparently Alex Bregman is really good at letting hitters know, letting his teammates know who are in the box, what pitches are coming, because it's the second time this year that he's been intentionally balked over to third base to prevent that sort of situation.
That's interesting, Joe. You know, the only other guy I ever saw do that was Bob Wickman in at the old Metrodome against the Twins. He intentionally balked a guy from second to third because he didn't want, I forget who the runner was, but he didn't want the guy stealing steins. But that's something else. I mean, maybe Bregman's got, you know, like a transistor in his hat. He's intercepting the signals from the catcher to the pitcher.
Either that or Cease, you know, might hold his hands a little high and, you know, he might be able to see a pitch grip or something like that. And he's going off of that. If that's the case, that's on the pitcher, man. You know, yeah. Pitchers work so hard to, you know, sort of refine their mechanics and not tip their pitches, you know, whether it's going to be a breaking ball, whether it's going to be off speed, based on the grip, based on where they're holding their hands, based on their positioning. Maybe Alex Bregman is just really good at reading body language and he's able to help his teammates out that way. That's a little bit different than electronically stealing signs and relaying them with a trash can. That's actually like the more acceptable form of cheating. I think if that was what the Astros had been doing all along, then I don't think anybody would be booing them the way that they still are at every ballpark they go to. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that should continue until the players from that team are long since out of the game.
Yeah, you know, I hope Cease never does that, drops the ball on the mound when there's a guy in third base. I saw Tony Sipp lose a game like that. They were playing San Francisco. Sip unintentionally, he just kind of flinched and dropped the ball. The winning run scored, and Cleveland lost 1-0.
Well, the one that scares me is James Karinchak, the way he flips the ball up in the air. He does it. It's out of habit. It's this weird, like, idiosyncrasy that he has. But if he's ever, you know, engaged on the mound with a runner on base and does that and accidentally drops the ball, he could be in a lot of trouble. That, you know, there's a time and place for that kind of movement. And you don't want to drop the baseball.
No, that's a bad thing.
All right, Hoynesy, we are heading into, again, like I said, a rock and blast weekend, a big weekend at the ballpark Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Sunday game is on Peacock, so you got to get up early. It's a noon start, and everybody loves those Peacock games. The players do. I know that for sure. So we will be looking forward to your coverage from the park tonight and tomorrow. And we'll talk to you again on Monday here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
All right, Joe.